We're going to invite into the conversation Haochen Zhang. Hello, Haochen.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you for being here. You just blew in from Philadelphia last night?
Yeah, last night. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, thank you for agreeing to spend the time here. Let's start on that, and then we'll circle back and find out about you and the rest of your life and all of that. Number one, what has made you decide to learn the Liszt Second Piano Concerto?
Well, I've always, first of all, this is going to be my first time performing the Liszt Piano Concerto No. 2. I've never played it before, but I've always wanted to, and I'm pretty sure it's the orchestra who proposed this idea first. And I said, why not give it a try, because it's much less often played than the first piano concerto, which is much more an iconic work by Liszt. Though less played, but I think the second concerto has a lot more novelty in the way how Liszt, you know, plans to structure the whole piece. The form itself is very, very original. It does not have any movements, basically. It's a single movement piece, and the narrative is purely connected by just one theme. And as a piano virtuoso as Liszt is, this concerto, surprisingly, actually, the piano does not, in any moment of the piece, I believe, place this theme. I think it's the orchestra that plays the theme. And what the piano does is to add variants and colors to the theme and create thematic transformations lends the structure the entire work. And so I feel that it's very, very original piece, and in a way foreshadows Liszt's path to all his later symphonic poems in a way. And so I'm really eager to, you know, to play this piece and to work it with James and the orchestra musicians.
Yeah. Well, and you've already answered part of this, but there's kind of two ways to look at Liszt. There's the flash and the show off and all of that stuff, and then there's the depth.
Yeah.
And so are you implying that this piece is moving toward Liszt's later depth?
Yeah, I certainly think so. And also that harmonically he is becoming more and more Wagnerian compared to the first piano concerto. Mm-hmm. You'll find some bold harmonic adventures here and there, which you don't quite hear as much in his earlier works. And plus, Liszt actually composed this at 1840, relatively mid-age. Mm-hmm. But then he underthrew a very strict revision process, and actually the work is not premiered until much later. I think I can see just as much instinctive talent, but also much diligence in the work process to actually make it as convincing as possible. So I'm really, as I play more and more, I start to like this piece and discover new things about the piece more.
Yeah. It's Haochen Zhang who's playing this piece. And James, you're also coming newly to it, and so you've been studying a score. And so how do you react to what Haochen just said about this piece?
I totally agree. Like you say, it's my first time with this piece as well. It's not so often played, and it really is an astonishing piece of music. It's the idea that it kind of starts with this beautiful theme, and it just keeps transforming. It's almost like it's like a tree growing or something. But some of the thematic transformations, I mean, are astonishing. So there's one, if you come to my pre-concert lecture, you'll hear a little bit of this.
Yeah, don't give plug. It away too much.
No, I won't give away too much. But there's one where, you know, it starts so beautiful and soft, and it ends up as this really bombastic kind of march. And and the idea that he can get from point A to point B, and how he does it, and this idea that the piano is a protagonist who is the agent of change. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And Haochen, how many concertos do you have in your back pocket right now?
It depends how you define back pocket. But I think the concertos I've performed over the years, about maybe 35.
That's a bunch. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then there are some concertos that played very often. then I can play it in pretty much now at any time. Like, you know, some, for instance, for young musicians, you can't really avoid playing some of Rachmaninoff concertos and Tchaikovsky.
You have to have those available.
But of course, I'm really eager to learn, you know, new concertos, and especially those who the audience have not heard so often, but just as much worth hearing as all the other more iconic works, and just like this second piano concerto of Liszt.
And you've mostly been influenced, haven't you, by being in Philadelphia and Curtis and Gary Graffman and all of that? Is that a bunch of your recent influences? Does that cause you to be... to make your career a very traditional, I'm going to learn all the major pieces sort of career, or do you have room to go outside the normal expectations and try new and different things in your life?
Well, I think Curtis, as a school, I think it's very, very unique. I think, first of all, it's one of the most selective music institutions, not only in America, but in the world, I think. But it does not have a established tradition to it. I mean, of course, the tradition goes way back with Joseph Hoffman being one of the greatest pianists of the 20th century, and his circle, which involves with Rachmaninoff, who also frequently visited Curtis at the time and taught master classes and so forth. But it has this kind of Jewish-Russian tradition, but also with Schnabel and with a lot of German influences. But for right now, I think the teachers who teach at Curtis and all the students, they're very, very different. And I remember first when I first went to Curtis, I'm amazed by just how different each students are. And really, it was at Curtis that I started to become self-aware of what kind of pianist do I want to be, because you hear all these different individual voices, and I was only 15 at the time, but it already made me start to think about that, and I think that really is one of the most fundamental, I think, precious gift. Yeah.
So what kind of pianist do you want to be?
Well, I think depends. Well, I'm kind of an introverted person, I think. And so I always wanted to, when I hear music, I am more drawn to pieces that has a more introspective look and has a just a more introverted way of expressing. I think partly because of my personality, partly because I'm coming from China, where the classical culture in China is more of an introspective culture compared to Western, which is more outward expressive. So I sort of, this is has become my natural identity, and that's how I would express music.
And Gary Graffman's a pretty thoughtful person, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Talk about how that works. Does he teach you use your third finger? Does he talk concept or what?
I think surprisingly, he is one of the most open-minded person I've ever come across, and as a teacher, that's especially unique, because I think oftentimes you see big pedagogues trying to enforce their thoughts onto their students, so they become, you know, miniatures like the teacher, but it's not the case with him, and he gives suggestions, but he never reinforce them, and he always asked me, what do you want to do? And I think talking about what I just said about being aware of what kind of pianist you want to be yourself, I think he has been a huge contribution in that. And you know, you look at all his students, they're vastly different from one another in style and in aesthetics. And that's, I think, one of his great power is he always trying to discover the individual student's innate personality, always make that as the priority.
Yeah. Haojun Zhang, the pianist who's playing Liszt here. So what's the range of music that you take on? Have you had pieces written for you yet?
No. I'd love to. Like yeah. There are a couple of commissioned works that's written for the for some occasions that I've been part of course, mm-hmm. and I haven't really commissioned any work just for myself.
And at this point in your career, you simply have management. You have an agent.
Of course.
And so you go wherever they find work for you, essentially.
Yeah. Well, in different territories, of course. There is always. I have an agent in America, but also in Europe and Asia. I have separate agents. Yeah.
Yeah. And is most of what you do simply what you're doing here? You play concertos with orchestras, or are there other opportunities?
It's pretty much 50%. I think concerto works, and maybe 40% recital and 10% chamber, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And. Do you imagine someday you would be teaching and you would be focused in that way, or do you expect to be traveling and simply playing for a long time?
Well, I think I'm going to wait a bit later for teaching. I enjoy doing masterclass. In mm-hmm. fact, this afternoon I'm going to give a masterclass at the Fox. But I think normally I want to wait until a bit later. Sure. To invest in teaching, because I think that has also you need a different mentality, a different approach for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And stick around for a minute, and I want to bring it once again back to James, because in your work you encounter so many soloists, and what do you want to say about the world of soloists who are making their way and playing concertos, and is it a pretty tough, intense world out there?
Rather them than me, I have to say. It's a tough world. I mean, I think the thing is, you know, as a conductor, you think your life is pretty peripatetic. You think, you know, I'm here this week and I'm here that week. As a soloist, though, you know, you it's instead of weeks, you're talking days. You know, you come in today and we rehearse tonight and perform tomorrow and the day after. Then you go somewhere else. I mean, it's really intense. And keeping on top of everything, the discipline of just getting all the things done. I hats off. I don't know how you do it.
And within your piano recitals, do you kind of fit with traditional models in a piano recital? Start with a Bach piece and end with a Fleischy piece and things like that, or are there other approaches to how to play a piano recital?
No, I think with recitals, it's the one sort of format where you can basically dictate whatever you want to play, mm-hmm. because with concertos, of course, that goes to the planning of the season for the orchestra. But you have absolute freedom in planning whatever you want to plan for a recital. So, of course, there's a lot of new ideas and explorations. And I typically think that listeners needs to be challenged. So I think it's not... The point of art is not to make listeners just too comfortable with whatever, they're just way too familiar, and it adds meaning because you hear different things that you've heard before. I'm always eager to try new things. For instance, in my current program, I'm also playing a Boulez work, which is for people who's not listened to it often, which I really don't know. Are any people at all who are really familiar with his piano works. But it's really a fascinating experience. In fact, I combine it with, in the second half, with the Liszt B minor sonata, and which I think creates a very interesting juxtaposition because Liszt was also, even though he was viewed as a romantic, but actually the B minor sonata, for instance, when it was composed, like this second piano concerto, has a broad range of novelty in harmony and in techniques. And it's really a sort of an avant-garde work. So pairing that with something like Boulez would make a very, would not even open doors for, you know, the listeners in terms of the Boulez, but also open doors for the Liszt sonata, because they can hear it in a totally different way. So things like that, I think it's what really fascinates me, and what makes recital programming very meaningful and interesting. And I think the same thing goes with orchestra planning. You know, how do we put new works pairing with old works together so it can open new doors for the listener, open new approaches and perspectives.
Nice. Haochen Zhang, who is the piano soloist, you agreed to play a little something for us just so we can experience you that way. What do you have in mind?
Yeah, because I was coming here this morning and I thought, we're in a not particularly pleasant weather, so I wanted to contribute something sweet, cozy, and warm. So I'm going to play Debussy's Girl with Flaxen Hair. It's a prelude from Book One, and hope
great.
You enjoy it.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, yeah. Head to the studio, and we will enjoy that. Debussy's music that will be played from our piano in the studio by one of our two guests, Haochen Zhang, who's playing Liszt with the Spokane Symphony, but it will be the Girl with the Flaxen Hair. So let's go to the studio and enjoy that. Haochen Zhang in our studio playing Debussy's prelude, The Girl with the Flaxen Hair. And Haochen will be doing a master class from 3 to 5. It's free and open to the public, and it will be on the stage of the Fox. Oh, that was gorgeous, Haochen. Really, really, really gorgeous. Let's talk about one more thing, and that's that when you play something like a Liszt piano concerto or any piano concerto, there's the possibility of an encore. How do you choose encores? Do you have a few things in mind and suddenly spontaneously decide on one? Or
yeah, because I think that's usually the approach. Because I want encores to have, not only for the audience, but mainly for me, a kind of spontaneous, a spontaneous condition. Mm-hmm. Because you never know what goes live, mm-hmm. because the performance might intrigue something that you haven't felt before. And I've sometimes designed that, I want to play a quiet piece, here for the, as the encore, but something becomes so exciting for me that I change on spot. I want to play something a little bit more flashy or virtuoso or just a little bit lighter. And it can be the opposite as well. Like sometimes I feel that, oh, maybe it needs a bombastic ending or something. But then suddenly I feel like, you know what, I'm in a mood to settle down. And that way, I think it makes a difference in me when playing something as an encore. I'm feeling fresh, and the audience can feel the same way. And I think that's the purpose of the encore. The beauty of an encore, there are, you know, little refreshments.
Nice. Hao Chenzheng, the pianist with this concert. And let's go back for the last few minutes to James Lowe, the conductor, and talk about a couple of other things that we haven't gotten around to talking about. And, of course, there's that famous practical question of how you can live in the whole world at the same time and do all the things a conductor does. What are your current commitments? Are they to an orchestra in Scotland or?
No, so I'm chief conductor of an orchestra in Finland.
Oh, you still the orchestra in Finland? Yeah.
The thing is, you know, as a conductor, there are two ways you can do it. You can run around guest conducting, and have an orchestra or two orchestras as chief conductor or music director, and fill every single week with a gig, and you know, for me that is a little unsatisfying. Actually, it's deeply unsatisfying. I mean, not only do you not get to spend any time at home and have any relationship with a place that's of any depth, it's also that for the ensembles with whom you're working, you're not really giving very much of yourself. So for me, what's very important, actually, what I do is now not so much guest conducting. Mostly working in Finland, and I have this, have other kind of projects, youth projects, that kind of thing, and a little bit of teaching. So that's, you know, I prefer to do fewer things in fewer places to actually be a little bit more concentrated on, you know, developing something in a more in a deeper and richer way.
Well, and with the word developing, being a music director as opposed to a conductor, talk about how many more things that involves.
Well, hugely more. As a friend of mine said, you know, if you're guest conducting, it's like going to a friend's house. You don't start rearranging the furniture. And I think it's the same as a music director. You really get an opportunity to mold the culture of the orchestra over a period of time. You know, are they a spontaneous? Do we make music spontaneously, or are we more rigid and precise, or are we an orchestra that favours a very flashy, exciting way of playing, or an orchestra that favours depth and subtlety, or you know, or are you a combination of all of those things? So this is really interesting for me, and how every orchestra has a different feel everywhere you go, and how that plugs into what I feel, and you know, where can we take that together? Because I think as a music director, when I'm talking about, you know, the music with the orchestra, evolution is always better than revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, to come in and say, hey, you've been doing it wrong, the last guy was mm-hmm. dreadful, that's just not the way to do it. I think mm-hmm. it's about seeing what the orchestra offer and together building something in a partnership.
And so you would then, I guess, by contract, have us just a certain amount of time that you would plan out your year to be here.
Yeah, that's right. But I think not just for concerts. I think it's important that, you know, the music director's also here substantially for community work and for being a presence, you know, being the face of the orchestra.
Sure. And so then right now, I know you have all kinds of things, all kinds of engagements and meetings with everybody just in the course of this week. What are a couple of weird and strange things you've done already?
Well, I don't think I've done anything weird and strange. I've done some really fun stuff. Yeah. I mean, I got to go wine tasting and go to Giant Nerd Books. That was great fun. Yeah. That's a crazy place if you haven't been in. It's wonderful. I was met by a stuffed alligator. But I think for me, you know, things like, you know, meeting the Symphony Association was astonishing, because that's a group that I think is unique. I've never come across it. I've come across mm-hmm. volunteer organizations attached mm-hmm. to orchestras, but a group with such energy and such passion and who just work so hard for the orchestra. I mean, that was astonishing. That's a big part of the secret sauce here, I would say.
Nice. James Lowe, who's in town for this these two concerts, as is our other guest, Hao Chen Zhang, 8 o'clock on Saturday night, and then 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at the Fox. And again, a reminder of Hao Chen's master class, 3 o'clock today. Busy day you have, isn't it? Yeah. And so thank you both for spending time with me.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Time with us, time with our listeners.